Amen. Thank you, Darren and Janice. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, if you will. Psalm 119. I appreciate the good group we had for the Bible conference this week. I appreciate that very much. Very, very, very much. And appreciate your support in that. And I hope it was of some value to you. I believe it should have been. Psalm 119, verse 81, if you will. Psalm 119, right in the middle of the Bible there, verse 81. Our theme this year is Jesus, our hope. Jesus, our hope. And I want to just kind of dwell on that for a little while here. And we have hope. You know, the world needs hope. You know why people kill themselves? They don't have hope. That's the truth. Depression is the lack of hope. Psalm 42 and 43, it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" In fact, Psalm 42 talks about, well, I went to the congregation and kept holy day. It said, I went and did all the hoopla, and I stood up and I sat down and I clapped my hands and I said amen, all the right places, and I went home. I still didn't have any hope. I'm still cast down. It says, "Hope thou in God." Don't hope in religion. Don't hope for someone just to pump you up. You're hoping in God. Now, that's not some kind of just blind, unrealistic, falsely optimistic view of life. Well, I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope. Hope is more than just being pumped up on adrenaline. You can go to a ball game and get that. You can go to a pro wrestling match and get that. You can get all wound up at a monster truck rally. I'm not saying you can't enjoy a monster truck rally. I'm just saying that's not your hope. Some people say, well, I'll distract myself because I'm going to fix this car, and I got this on my mind. I've got something to get me up in the morning and so forth. Listen, Christ is what we get up for. That's what we're worth living. You say, well, that sounds so phony. You don't know him yet. You don't know him yet. Let's read Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Say that one again. My soul fainteth, about ready to fall down, for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law, and all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Won't you help me? That's what he's saying. They had almost consumed me upon the earth. But I forsook not thy precepts. That's almost like the first word, the first verse there we read in 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. A few times ago, I gave a message that I entitled, I hope in his word. I hope in his word. Then I gave one that I entitled, Promises of Hope, and it was comfort. Find comfort in his word. Today, we're going to do a second one in that, Promises of Hope. We're talking about courage. Hope in his word brings courage. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of it, for the truth of it. Thank you that we can rest upon it. That when all other things give way, our hope is in you and your faithful word. Lord, there's folks all across this room here Many are right in the middle of an issue, a storm, a crisis. Some have just come out of a crisis. And some of us, sun's shining today, but the storm's coming over the horizon. We just don't know it yet. And Lord, we need hope. And in a world where we just tell each other to suck it up, to just look on the bright side and cross our fingers, I think they've come to a point where they realize that just doesn't do the job. And we need something bigger, better, greater. We need you and your word. Lord, I ask for your spirit to move here this morning. Give us exactly what we need in these few moments. In Christ's name, amen. Some weeks ago, we talked about hoping in his word. You ever been in a place where you say, I'd like to trust what the guy says, but I mean, it sounds real good, but is it going to happen? And I think in our relationship with God, sometimes it does the same thing. We say, well, I think God can do this. And then old Satan says, well, why should he? And the fact is, there's a lot of truth to that. Why should he? And so our hope goes out the window. But the fact is, we can have hope because he's faithful. We learn we have a problem. We all have problems. There's all kinds of things in our lives that causes problems, issues. If you don't have one, you're going to have one before the week's over. There's something going to come up. There's always something. You say, well, I've had people say, well, you know, I'm not going to smile in church or like everything's okay. Well, you think everybody who smiles in church has everything okay? No, but they got hope. We still have hope. God didn't roll off the throne. He's still on the throne. We need to do the things as he calls us to do it, because then we have hope. So, we have a problem, and then we found out we had a predicament, and that's the fact that we're sinners, and we don't deserve the right to even go to the throne, but we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Not on our behalf, not on our merit, but on the grace of God. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise. That's the promise, because God... In fact, it's in our verse we saw in Psalm 130. It says, "But there is forgiveness with thee." There's forgiveness. So what do? We go to the Lord, we ask forgiveness, get right before him, and then we just jump in on the process. What's that? Do what he tells you to do. Well, I'm saved now. Everything's gonna be fine. Not on this earth. The days are short. A woman is short, the days are short and full of sorrow. There's always issues. Our health will be an issue. Our spouse will be an issue. Our kids will be an issue. The in-laws will be an issue. The job will be an issue. The car will be an issue. Something's going to be an issue. But God's still on the throne. So we have hope. Now, last time we found out that when we put our hope in him, we work and we do what he asks us to do. We found out in Psalm 119, verse 49, it says, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. We have his word on it. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction. The reason I can face tomorrow, the reason I can have comfort, the reason I can still smile is because I have hope. And I have hope because there's grace. I can go toward the throne of God, the throne of grace, find hope, find help in time of need. I have that. And because I have that, it gives me comfort. All right. I can't see it. It's kind of like a big thunderstorm and all the kids crawl into mom and dad's bed. Like they're going to be able to beat off the thunder. And they're like, you know, but it's okay. They have hope. They're walking with mom and dad, so everything's okay. Well, I'll tell you what, you've got a Heavenly Father who wants to walk with you. We have a comfort. We have a grace. We have hope. Now, remember this. I've mentioned this before. If you want to walk with God, then if you want him to walk with you, you need to walk with him. Now, that's not saying he meets you halfway. You want to walk with him, then you need to walk where he walks. Do what he says to do. And by the way, his commandments are not grievous, and they're for our benefit. Now, this morning, we can have comfort. And that's good. You know, sometimes you're sitting in a storm, you need that comfort. But I want to show you something here this morning. It's one step further. Courage. Courage. I'll mention this again, but let me say this as a start. Courage is not the absence of fear. In fact, if there's nothing to be afraid of, you don't need courage. Courage is taking the steps and moving on in the presence of fear, in the presence of the attack, in the presence of the trouble. It's moving forward, even though it looks like it's going to be a hard trip. Let me give you the first verse here. Hope in His Word gives me courage. Let's say this. It keeps me from giving up. You ever had one of those days, I just don't think I can do this another day? There's some folks who have some physical issues. There's folks who come to church that are in constant pain, and you'd never know it. You'd never know it. There's hope. And because there's hope, their focus is on the hope and not on the problem. And when you put your hope in Him and you do as He says, be honest with you, He gives you grace to handle the issue. Now let me show you, first thing here, my craving. Hang on tight. I'm trying to alliterate here. Please bear with me. My craving. C-R-A-V-I-N-G. Do you ever crave something? Something you just got to have one, you know? Do you realize they've raised the price of the sweet tea at McDonald's up to 39 cents? Speaking of craving, I went down there and they charged me $1.39 for a sweet tea. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, nothing against folks who work at McDonald's or anything, but it used to be a buck. I had my dollar and my 6 cents for the tax all ready to go. I said, no, it's $1.39 plus tax. Look at our verse here, verse number one, verse 81. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My soul is fainting. For some deliverance. But I hope in your word. My soul, you've heard me say this. You know what the soul is? It's your mind, your will, your emotions. We're a trichotomy. We have a body, physical body. We have a soul and we have a spirit. The soul is the real you. We have a spiritual body. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. A spiritual body, a physical body. We have this physical body interacts with this realm. Our spiritual body, if you will, interacts with God when it comes alive in Christ. Our spirit's made alive in Christ. We can now communicate with God. But the real you is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. He says, I'm just about done. I'm fried. My emotions. I've only got one nerve left, and you're standing on it. He says, my soul, the person, fainteth. That word fainted means to end, to perish. He says, my soul is so consumed for somebody to deliver me, that God give me some kind of deliverance from this. My soul is at the end of itself. My soul is so consumed with receiving. My whole existence is resting on that. I'm about to fall over. He says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, for your rescue, for your deliverance, for you to set me free, to give me some victory. I said, I'm about ready to fall over if God doesn't do something. You ever get to that point? God, you've got to do something. I just don't think I can do this anymore. But I'm going to hope in your word. Now, wait a minute. If hope is in his word, then it's, I don't care how bad it is, it's still not going to do us any good to go someplace else for deliverance. You following what I'm saying? If he is our salvation, no matter how bad it is, he's our only hope, then what good is it going to go try to find some hope, some deliverance from some other resource? He says, if I was hoping in anything else, I'd be in deep troubles. The fact is, it's okay because I'm hoping. I'm waiting patiently. I'm trusting. I'm staying in that position knowing that your word, Lord, is true. And thus I know when the time is right, God will deliver one way or another. That's living by faith. If we back out on our hope in him, then our real hope wasn't really in him. When it gets tough, we say, well, I've got to find something else. Now, wait a minute. Is it God who's our strength, our tower, our fortress, our deliverer, or is he not? We can talk a big talk, but I tell you what, when things get down to where the rubber meets the road, when things start to hurt, where's your hope? In his word. Forever it's settled in heaven. It has not changed. He's saying, I am hungry for deliverance. I'm not just hungry, I'm starving to death here. You ever been there? Sometimes God's got to do something, and I have to do something, and you're starving. You're so hungry, you're going to fall over, if you will, if God doesn't do anything. You know, a starving man might attack almost anything, devour almost anything to save his life and escape death. I mean, there's stories about people who were lost at sea, you know, on a lifeboat, and as they died, the ones who were alive resorted to cannibalism just to stay alive. And you might think that a person that is so desperate to be delivered would do almost anything. He might go against everything that is holy and righteous. But he says, listen, I'm ready to faint. I'm ready to fall. I'm ready to perish. But I hope in thy word. He says, I'm hoping and waiting entirely for you to save me, Lord. Job's wife said, oh, why don't you just curse God and die? No. Was he totally perfection? Total perfection? No, he wasn't. Even God says, you know what? You need to pray for your friends. Oh, my soul, Lord. They picked on me for all this time and I didn't do anything to deserve this. Now you want me to pray for my friends? He says, yeah, I want you to pray for your friends. And when he prayed for his friends, the Lord lifted problem. So he took Job one extra step. Job did all the suffering. Job was the good guy. But he says, I got something I want to teach you too. I want to teach you how to love in a greater way than ever. Love the ones who persecuted you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those who despise you and persecute you. He said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I'll hope in thy word. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? He said, and that word fail, the same word as faint. He says, listen, I feel like I've been looking for God to deliver me for so long that I think I'm going blind. I've been looking for an answer everywhere. I think I'm about ready to go blind. If I'm watching for God to do something, resting my whole being on this expectation, that's what he's saying, and yet I know that the Word of God is my only source of truth and salvation. So we see my craving. I want God to do something. I want Him to do it so bad I can taste it. Secondly, I want you to see my condition. It looks bad. My condition. Look at verse 83. For I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. What in the world? All right, now watch me. When we think of a bottle, we think of a little glass container, you know, and you've seen them get smoked up, and you think, well, what in the world? No. Back then, the bottle would have been a goatskin container. Would have been glass. It would have been a goatskin or some other type of skin container. Now, have you ever had something that was leather and hung it by the fireplace for a long time? You know what happens? It just kind of dries up. You ever seen leather get so dry that it hasn't been reconditioned? It cracks. It kind of gets wrinkly. It falls apart. It can't hold anything. It's done. He says, Lord, my soul is fading. My eyes fail with the word. He says, I become like a bottle in the smoke. He says, I've been so long in the heat and the pressure that I've become a dry, cracked bottle that leaks. I'm a mess. I'm dried up. Yet, do I not forget thy statutes? The word statutes is an interesting little word. If you go through the book of us, if you go through Psalm 119, you'll see precepts and statutes and commandments, all kinds of phrases to the Word of God. Statutes means an enactment. In other words, an appointment. In other words, God says that we do this, and He will do this. So the statutes, you got a precept, it's kind of like a principle, but a statute says, okay, this is what you do. This is the statutes. This is how we do it. These are the laws. This is what we're going to do. Now, sometimes it seems like it's taking God forever to show up and save me out of this mess. He says, I can see my life drying up right before my eyes, just like one of those things, hanging, old bottle hanging by the fireplace. It won't be long, that thing's going to be crumbling and falling apart. It looks bad. Wait a minute. Doesn't God know what it looks like? Why is He doing this? To show you who you trust in. Let me say that again. He's showing us who we trust in. He already knows where our trust is. Sometimes He wants to get us so mad, I'm not letting go, God. You might as well go ahead and answer because I'm here for the duration. Like old Jacob at the river Jabbok, I will not let you go unless thou bless me. Now, during this waiting period, you want to give up. But I'm not going to give up because God has promised me. I trust in His statutes. This is what He said. If I go back, then I don't believe what He said. If I give up, if I stop doing what I'm supposed to be doing according to His statutes, I cannot expect to claim God's promises, so I just keep on hoping in God, knowing He will keep His promises at the right time, while all the time I'm holding up my end of the statute. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. What's he doing? I don't know, but he'll do it when his time comes. When the right time comes, he's going to do it. I'm going to hold on to his statutes. Listen, our flesh thinks we're going to be destroyed if we don't wait on the Lord. That's what he's saying. Well, let me back up here. Our flesh thinks we are going to die waiting for God to do something. All right, let me say that. Our flesh is waiting for, think we're going to die while we're waiting for God to do something. But the fact is, we're going to be destroyed if we don't wait on the Lord. It looks like my life is drying up right in front of my eyes, yet I am not going to forget the promises of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God, or are you just trying him out? Been there? I've been there. Do you trust God, or are you just trying him out? Well, is that looking good? I'm drying up here. My soul's fainting. My eyes are blind. All righty, I gave you enough time. Okay, all right. It's kind of like our salvation. Do you realize it's all him and us, and not us at all? Our deliverance this way is really all him too. We got to do it his way, or don't expect him to get in on it. So we saw, what was the first one? Craving. I don't even know. Saw our craving. He saw our condition. How about this one? My complaint. Look at verse 84. My complaint. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? In other words, how long am I going to have to wait, Lord? How long is it going to be before you make things right? Watch this. Look at verse 85. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. Duh. What's he saying? I'm trying to keep myself right, but the folks that are against me, they don't play by the rules. You want me to play by the rules. But I'm out here in the world, Lord. They don't play by the rules. Now, since they don't play by the rules, why do I have to play by the rules? Why are the heathen rage? And imagine a vain thing. How are they getting away with it? Whoa. Psalm 78. Oh, Asaph said, Lord, my feet almost well slipped. And then I went to the house of the Lord and saw their end. All right. Okay. I'd rather be in trouble now and have deliverance coming than look like I'm in good shape here and know the destruction's coming. Right? You know what? Listen, we're a peculiar people. Broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there are that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. That means most of the time you're running around this little path. No one else is on this path with you. You know, here you are, you feel like you're all by yourself. But life is at the end of the path. But the whole crowd, I mean, we're having a great time. We're going to sing and we're going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And we're going to go all the way. Listen, we're going to have a great time, but we're going to the wrong place. He says, these people, they're digging pits for me. I wouldn't do that for them. That's not right. They shouldn't do that. And yet we'll turn right around and do the exact same thing. They slander us, we'll slander them. They slash our tire, we'll slash theirs. How long do I have to do this, Lord? I'm trying to keep myself right, but not playing by the rules. This is not fair. I feel like those who are against me are getting away with murder, and here I am patiently waiting, doing right according to God's word, and I'm not seeing much happening, no progress so far. I'm a dried up bottle by the side of the fireplace. They're out there to get me, even setting traps for me. And here I sit with a confident expectation that somehow, even though it seems to be hoping against hope, God's going to make this right. He's going to make this right. So that's foolish. Made sense, wouldn't take faith. God gave his word on it. I can have courage because I hope in his word. That's my next one. We have my craving, my condition, my complaint, my courage. My courage. Look at verse 86. You know what? Sometimes you have to, I'm going to back up. Sometimes you've got to talk to yourself. I know there's people go down the road and they wave at me. They see my Chrysler and they see the tag on the front and they're waving. Sometimes I go, whoosh. You know, I didn't see a thing. It's not unusual for me to be reminding myself of the promises of God. Sometimes I'm reminding myself of the promises of God because I'm going to go see somebody who's lost their hope or looks like they have no hope. And I'm supposed to go there and remind them of the hope. Well, no good to remind them of hope if I don't have hope myself. It's hard to sell something if you don't believe in it yourself. I wouldn't buy this vacuum if I were you either, but here it is. I've got to get rid of three of them before the day's over. Could you help me out here a little bit? All thy commandments, look at verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Help thou me. Your word is true. I know it's true. You got a statute. You say, if I do this, you'll take care of me. Doesn't look like we're, this doesn't mean that the trip's going to be nice all the time. But the end will be right. And they're not doing right. Not mad at them. I'm not condemning them. I'm stating the facts. They're not doing right. So I have every right to say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. He's still in control. There may be a whole host, and I'm left with 32,000. God says it's too many. Bring it down to 10. Bring it down to 300. Now, I got your word in this, right, Lord? Okie dokie. Here we go, boys. And get the victory, Mr. Gideon. He says, I'm going to continue to do right according to your word, Lord, and wait. And wait, even though they're wrong in what they're doing. They are doing things wrong. And eventually they will be accountable for it. Right now it looks like they're winning. Right now it looks like they're getting away with it. Look at verse 87. They had almost consumed me upon the earth. It looks like I'm a goner. It looked like I was a goner, but I just kept my eyes on you and I did what you told me to do. Even when it seemed, watch it, stupid. Seemed futile. Seemed like a waste of time. Sometimes, listen, there are folks even in this room, many Christians across America, who have to decide, is this God thing real or is it just a bunch of hooey? Foolishness. Fairy tale. Some kind of psychological ploy. Is he God or isn't he God? No wonder we don't have hope. Listen, we feel like we have hope as long as everything goes well. You don't need hope if everything goes well. Hope is needed when everything's going haywire. You know what that means? You ever... You know that wire used to bind up hay bales with on a big roll like that? Did you ever let that stuff loose? You got one coming, comes up and will catch you across the cheek, slice you. We used to have barbed wire too. Down our way we called it bob wire. But anyway, those things get you. Everything's going crazy. Looks like I'm a goner. But watch. They had almost consumed me. They almost got me. Listen, I almost gave in. I almost started doing what they were doing. I almost turned my back on God and did the wrong thing. Listen, I feel like I'm dead. I'm about ready. I'm fainting here. I'm like that dried up bottle, just about ready to fall apart. I was. Listen, they have almost consumed me. Look at verse 87. But I forsook not thy precepts. No. I was that close. But I didn't. I stayed right there with the precepts. That word precepts means it's the word mandate. That doesn't mean two guys going fishing. A mandate means it has to happen. It's a requirement. It's not going to work unless you do it. It's not, watch me, it's not optional. You follow me? I kept thy precepts, thy mandates. These are the things you have to do. Now, it's the same as the statutes, but he's taking it from a different angle. It's not a take it or leave it. It's not say, well, I'll do some of these and not some of these. Do you ever make beautiful biscuits and don't put any salt in them? Or you don't, listen, you make biscuits, but you don't put the baking powder, whatever it is, in there, so they just cut it. You can use them for hockey pucks. It's not optional. You're not going to get the results you want unless you put in all the ingredients in according to God's recipe. Well, I did most of them. I just left out about that, you know, this little pinch of this, a little pinch of that. It's all it takes. And then we get mad at God. We get mad at God. We do some crazy things. We think faith means I can get God to do anything I want. Now see, I'm too lazy to live according to God's precepts, but then I pray and he's supposed to work it all out. You know what? It's like this. I got this thing in my hand. I got to walk all over there and put it there. Well, God, you put it there. It's not going there. The law of gravity, which God put in place, says it goes down. We do our own thing, and then we're surprised that the consequences shows up, just like his word said. You don't do it his way, we don't get what he says we're going to get. Listen. He says, listen, I watch it. They had almost consumed me. But I didn't let them do it. I just kept doing what God told me to do. Take that. Take that. Because I still have God on my side, and you're out on a limb all by yourself. Look at verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. You know what he's saying? All right, Lord, revive me. Make me alive again. Wait, I was ready to faint. I mean, my eyes are going blind, trying to figure out what I need to do. I'm dried up like an old piece of leather next to the fireplace. And I was almost gone. They weren't playing by the rules. Whew, man, it just gets me. I hate it when people don't play by the rules. I hate things when are not fair. Not fair. I was that close to forsaking it. Going back, knew what I wanted to do. And I said, no, I'm going to keep sticking by your mandates. This is what you said I got to do. That's what I'm going to do. So here, Lord, I'm going to do it, and here's my prayer. Make me alive again. Give me life again. Why? After thy loving kindness. Go because, not because I'm such a, in fact, I was that close to backing out of this thing. I was like, you know that. But Lord, I know if I keep our precepts, you'll do what's right because you love me. You're kind. And you know what? I want to keep the testimony of thy mouth. What's that? Lord, you promise to do right. And when you do right in the midst of the problems, you get glory. And other people see who you are. And they'll trust you too. And I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to mess that up. Because you see, if I say I trust you, if I back out at this time, this stage of the game, people are going to say, I'm not going to get the results I want. They're going to say, see, that God thing doesn't work. And I've messed up your reputation, God. Messed up your testimony. Messed it up. Nope, I'm just going to stick with you. I'm a dead man. Fainting and failing. Dried up at the brink of disaster. But I'm trusting you to give me life again as I follow your mandates. It's okay. Once again, I'm going to remind myself. What God says is true. It's always best for me to obey God's word and leave the outcome to Him. And even though the rest of the world doesn't seem to be playing by the rules, as 1 Peter 2:23 says, I have committed myself to Him that judges righteously. I almost messed up. I got myself in the ruin, but I didn't give up on the mandates of God. Watch me. I've said this at the beginning. Courage is not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of threats. It's not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward and following God, even in the midst of the problems and the threats and the fears, according to His Word. I almost gave up on it all, even life itself, but instead I just went back to the precepts and the promises. Kept doing what God called me to do. Because I hope in His Word, I will not give up. Moses was dead. And Joshua now had a job to lead them into the promised land, didn't know what in the world they were going to get into. It says, Moses, in Joshua 1, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, in the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers, give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou shalt mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Just stick with His word, and everything's all right. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. Thank you for your love, your loving kindness. Thank that we can come boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can hope in your word. And thank you for the comfort that it gives us. And thank you for the courage that it builds in our heart to step up, to face the threats of the day. Even the ones who don't play by the rules, even the ones who aren't godly, we don't know what they're going to do next. Lord, thank you for your word and that it gives us hope. Our heads are bowed.